Our lesson tonight is out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 32 to 42, Christ's example of handling great satanic temptation to avoid God's hard assignments. Interesting title. Mark's Gospel was written by John Mark, who was rebounding from having abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13, verse 13. And that due to Mark's lapse in following Christ over some difficulty. We're not told what the difficulty was. In contrast to his own defection in the face of hardship, Mark told how Jesus exampled how to handle great satanic temptations to avoid God's hard assignments. And review that report in Mark 14, 32 to 42 for insight. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at the passage. Mark 14, 32 to 42. And they came, this Jesus and the disciples, came to a place which is named Gethsemane, and he saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little ways and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. They didn't know what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest, it is enough. The hour is come, behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrays me is at hand. A very famous passage of Scripture, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus and the 11 disciples minus Judas arrived at the Olive Garden of Gethsemane, and Gethsemane means oil press, so apparently there was an oil press in the area there. They would harvest the olives, and then they had a press there in which they'd press, and they'd press the olives for the oil. And the first pressing, of course, would be the purest oil that was often used in the temple. And the olive oil was used to lamp the lampstand, remember that, and these various things. But olive oil was also used for food, was used for cooking, and it's a very healthy oil as well, incidentally. But that's what Gethsemane means. It means oil press. Jesus told them to sit while he went to pray. When we were in Israel in 1963, there we visited the areas just at the foot between the Mount of Olives on one hand and Mount Zion on the other, or the Temple Mount. And there's a valley, the Kidron Valley, in between. And just on the Gethsemane, or just on the Mount of Olives side of that brook, the Kidron Brook there, is an area where there are some very old olive trees. They well may have been the very olive trees in that garden where Jesus was when Jesus met and prayed. We don't know. Olive trees, the wooden olives, are very hard. And this is where Jesus was, and he would go out there each night. He was, the last week of his life, he would spend time in the city of Jerusalem in the temple, and then he'd leave the temple and he'd go out to the Mount of Olives. And he would pray out there. And he did that consistently, so Judas knew where he was going to be. And Jesus was doing that in order to telltale or telegraph his movements so that Judas could find him there and get him there. Well, taking Peter and James and John with him, Jesus then went a little further into the garden, becoming alarmed, ekthumbeo, and experiencing extreme anguish, which is ademoneo. He claimed his inner soul, that's the word psyche, we get the word psychology from it, his inner soul was deeply grieved, perlipos, to the point of death. Now, psychologists tell us that you can experience grief to the point where you will actually die if the grief is severe enough. Often when someone loses a loved one, they may grieve so deeply over the loss of that person that they die within a matter of months. And often they say the grief killed him, and that's true. It has that effect. And Jesus was at this point where he's grieving intensely. Well, to handle this hardship, Jesus told the three disciples to wait there and to keep watch. And later on, he's going to clarify what he means by keep watch. In explanation of this directive, Jesus then went a little further and fell face down on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, that the appointed time of his suffering and death as a sin offering and all of its horrific physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual anguish might pass from him. It's interesting, I hadn't timed it this way, but we were in the first part of Psalm 22 in our adult Sunday school class, which dealt with the cross and the sufferings of the cross. The greatest amount of suffering for Jesus in the cross and facing the cross was not the physical pain, although it's just sheer torture. It wasn't the emotional pain of people turning on him and wagging their heads at him and mocking him. It was the pain of the Father turning his back on him. For eternity, Jesus had known intimate fellowship with God the Father. And all of a sudden, the Father was turning his back on him, and because he was made sin for us. And that was excruciating for Jesus and very, very difficult in his human nature to handle. And so this is why Jesus was praying, if at all possible, that he could avoid this. Nevertheless, Jesus prayerfully yielded to the Father's will, aligning himself in his humanity with God's plan above fulfilling his own human desire to avoid the cross. Verse 36, Abba, Father. Abba is the word daddy. It's a term of endearment for a father. Daddy, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou wilt. What a wonderful prayer by our Savior. He did yield to the will of the Father. It was excruciating, but he yielded to it. If he hadn't yielded to it, you and I would be going to hell. But he yielded to the will of the Father. And praise God for that fact. Well, returning to the disciples, Jesus found them asleep. So he asked Peter if he could not watch with them just 1 hour. See, Jesus had been praying for an hour. To explain this watching exercise, Christ told Peter that he needed to watch and pray, that he not enter into temptation to deny him like Jesus had predicted that Peter would do. You'll remember back in chapter 14, verses 29 and following, Peter had said to Jesus, although all shall be offended, yet I will not. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, he'll deny me thrice. But he spoke the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any way. Likewise also said all of them. So the Lord Jesus Christ was telling Peter, I know that you don't want to deny me. That's your will. The problem is you're weak. And in a situation like this, just because you strongly will in your human will that you don't want to deny me, you're going to be facing Satan. And you need much more than just your human will. Your human will cannot stand up to it. We know from Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32, that Satan was going to be working in this situation. And that's why Peter needed the Lord Jesus, needed God, and he needed prayer. I read in Luke 22, verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, in other words, when you are turned, when you've repented, strengthen thy brethren. And of course, that's what Peter did through the rest of his ministry. He strengthened fellow believers in the Lord. But there are sometimes, there are temptations that are so intense. And when Satan gets a hold of those temptations, they are so intense, you cannot fight them. You have to pray. And pray is absolutely necessary in that situation. It's good to pray when we face temptation anyway, but especially when we're under satanic pressure. Well, Jesus, returning to the disciples, Jesus found them asleep. So he asked Peter if he could not watch with them just 1 hour. To explain his watching, Christ told Peter that he needed to watch and pray that he not enter into temptation to deny him, like Jesus had predicted that Peter would do. Where Jesus faced the lure to avoid God's will of shouldering the horrific work of the cross, Peter faced the satanic lure to deny Jesus versus faithfully following the Lord. And the solution to this satanic lure was prayer for God's help in union with watching out for Satan's moves to tempt Peter to abandon Jesus. You know, it's interesting, starting at this statement that Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, throughout the rest of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul especially talks about watch and pray. And it's in the context of watching out for the evil one's moves. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about watch and pray for all saints, all the believers, because of the working of Satan. Satan is going around like a roaring lion looking for an opening, and when he gets it, boom, he goes for it. So we have got to be in prayer. Well, Jesus returned to pray, and then he came back to the disciples a total of 3 times. And it's interesting that this matches the 3 times that Peter would deny Jesus before the night expired. So Jesus comes back 3 times, and that's the signal. It's interesting, whenever Jesus works with Peter, it's 3 times. Peter was going to deny him 3 times, so Jesus warns him to pray 3 times. Later at the men's breakfast, when he gets Peter to repent, he gets Peter to repent by asking him 3 times, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's grieved. Then when Peter becomes an apostle, and the Lord's trying to teach him that it's all right to eat things that the law originally had forbade, there's a sheet that comes down from heaven 3 times. Peter, the number 3, you know, it's a gong in his right ear. The Lord says, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. So 3 is the number. And so here Jesus comes back the 3 times, the 3rd time with Peter. So the New Testament writings repeatedly allude to these events, coupled with Jesus' teaching on them, to indicate the need for Peter and the rest of Jesus' disciples through the ages to combat the satanic lure to avoid God's hard assignments for them by depending on the Lord by the prayer of faith. This is incredible. God has assignments for them, and Satan wants to tell us, oh, you can't do that. Oh, it's too hard. Get out of it. Quit. Get out of here. Notice Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice, don't be strong in yourself. Don't steel yourself. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11, chapter 6 of Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the wiles, the stratagems of Satan. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, actually in the heavenlies. It's interesting, Satan actually has access to heaven so he can critique you and me. And he critiques us because of our weaknesses, he critiques us because of sin. And he's a horrible foe. He's very formidable, a very difficult foe. Finally, having overcome the temptation to avoid fulfilling the Father's hard assignment of suffering and death on the cross by facing the cross, Jesus had his disciples join him to face his betrayal into the hands of sinners en route to the suffering and death. This is an amazing thing that happens here, but at verse 41, Jesus comes, in Mark 14, verse 41, he comes a 3rd time, says unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. And then notice what Jesus does. Rise up. Let us go. Lo, he that betrays me is at hand. Jesus went to meet the people. He went to meet Judas. He was facing the cross. And he was doing it in the power of God through prayer. So the lesson is, in Gethsemane, Jesus practiced and he taught his disciples to handle Satan's great temptations, to avoid God's hard assignments in life and ministry by watching so as to discern and pray intelligently about the trial. Bunch of applications here. May we believers in Jesus Christ realize that Satan can powerfully tempt us to avoid fulfilling God's difficult assignments, so that we must keep watch over events in our lives so as to discern Satan's movements in our experience as defined by Scripture revelation that lure us to abandon God's assignments, so that we pray intelligently and dependently on the Lord for his help, being careful always to yield to God's will over even our own human wills. Then, starting at the Garden of Eden, Satan's temptations occur in connection to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, the lust of the world of which Satan is God. It's interesting, in Genesis 3, 4 to 6, Satan was tempting Eve to eat of the tree of the garden. And it's interesting, when she saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, that it looked good, the lust of the eyes, and that it was desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life, then she took it and she ate it. And Dr. Dwight Pentecost, in his book, Your Adversary the Devil, has written, if you follow the acts and the movements of Satan throughout Scripture, wherever he tempts, he always tempts in relationship to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So those are the things we have to watch out for. Then we must thus watch out for strong lures of these various lusts of worldliness to be used of Satan to tempt us to avoid God's hard assignments. See, Satan tried to get Jesus to avoid the cross in his temptation. All you have to do is bow down to me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. You can have you can be the king of the world without going to the cross. Satan at that particular time knew that the cross was going to defeat him. So he tried to do everything. And that's why I believe Satan was involved in the people who were goading Jesus to come down off of the cross. If you come down off the cross, we'll believe. Okay? It was goading, trying to get him to quit his assignment. Satan didn't want him to finish the assignment, so you've got to watch out. That's what Satan will do. He'll try to get us to quit. Now, if we face duress, great alarm or grief or anguish, as did Jesus, versus the fruit of the Holy Spirit, know that our temptation is likely fueled by our wrestling in the angelic conflict with evil spirits, that we immediately go to prayer in reliance on the Lord for his help. Even in times of great duress, we must always recall, as did Jesus, that yielding to the easy way versus performing God's biblical will is sin, that we follow our Lord in yielding to the Father's will. Many years ago, when I was a student in Bible college, I was eating in the home. A family had invited me one Sunday afternoon to eat in their home, and they were having meetings with an evangelist. I think it might have been Paul Levine, I don't know. Anyway, an evangelist, and he was invited, and he was there, he was eating with us, and the evangelist told us about an interesting story, an event that happened with him. He was at a camp, a Christian camp, and at that Christian camp, he was supposed to get up and preach the gospel one of the nights. And for some reason, it was full of teens, and the teens started getting so rowdy that they were in danger of losing control of the meeting. And the staff members there, the counselors couldn't control it, the head of the camp couldn't control it, the evangelist, Reverend Levine was there, they couldn't control the situation. And Paul Levine said, I just sensed a foreboding, a weight come upon me. And he said, I recognized this was satanic. So he said, a couple of us went to prayer right there. We just stopped and prayed. And within a minute or two, the whole place quieted right down. He said, I got up and I preached, and there were 20 or 30 kids that came to Christ. I forget the number, but the evil one knew that these kids are close to coming to the Lord. But there was real satanic pressure. And, you know, when I heard this evangelist share this, he said it was really traumatic. The pressure was there. He said, I couldn't move. I didn't want to get up. Didn't feel like getting up. Didn't feel that I could. But the Lord gave us power, and that through prayer. So I don't know if you're ever going to face that type of a situation, but if you ever do, remember that you're wrestling against spirit beings. And that's not flesh and blood, and it's too powerful for you or for me to handle. What we need to do is pray. Go to prayer. Even if we can't close our eyes in the situation, you might be facing something where you're driving in the car. I see Jacob just got his license. You know, don't close your eyes when you pray, Jacob. But if you have to, pray with your eyes open. Whatever is needed, pray. Go to prayer and trust the Lord, and he'll give real victory.